Welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church in Sacramento, California. Each week, these messages are brought to you with practical help for daily living from our teacher and pastor, John S. Terrell. Our hope is that you'll be encouraged and challenged by this message, and that you'll share it with a friend. This morning, Pastor John continues the series entitled, The World's Money System. For thousands of years, people believed the earth was flat and the center of the universe. And anyone who challenged these assumptions was arrested, tried, and put to death by the Roman Catholic Church. So what happens today when someone makes an assertion that is considered anti-Semitic, but can be proven otherwise? Few Gentiles know about a Jew named Jacob Frank in the 18th century who was deeply educated in the Kabbalah and believed he was the reincarnation of Sabbatai Sivai. He believed in destroying God's laws and living in total sin, and advocated overthrowing every national government, executing every king, and eradicating every trace of Christianity. Frank was never able to put his revolutionary ideas into practice, but his writings became the foundation for the scourges of communism, Nazism, fascism, and someday they will also be used by the Antichrist. Today's message is not pleasant, but the millions who died because of this demonized man demand that the truth be brought to light so that people can be warned about this hellish future. This message is entitled, Jacob Frank. Now, let's go to the sanctuary and join Pastor John as he begins today's message.
Praise the Lord and welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church on January 16th, 2011. And to those of you that are watching us, it's a bit cold here today at Resurrection Life of Jesus Church. Our heater went out, and we have to warm it up ourselves. Now, each person produces 25 watts every hour. So just keep warming it up. It is going to get better. Now, I'm sure that people in hell, they would simply say, I trade you any day. If a little bit cold, I take that. So let's just praise God and rejoice in Him. Now, since I started preaching this series on the world's money system and looking at what's happening behind the scenes, I don't know about you, but I've had a few visits the last week, not by people, but by demons. And I realize that the subject that I'm bringing out is not very popular in Satan's kingdom. And so if you've had a bad time this week, praise the Lord, join the rest of us, and I'm glad that we could be praising God here and worshiping Him. So today you're going to have another message that might rattle you a little bit, and hopefully we'll be able to get through this. But what you're going to learn today is going to be vital. Because in a very short future, things are going to change on this earth. And let me say this to those of you that are watching us. As I'm preaching this, the enemy is also visiting our finances and drying them up. And if you like what we are doing and you're part of the cyber family, we need to hear from you this week to keep us afloat. Let's stand for prayer right now. My Heavenly Father, I want to thank and praise you right now that I can be here this Sunday. And Father God, this is not a very nice subject for me to preach on. But Lord, I'm going to be obedient to what you have given me, and I'm going to present it. And Father, help us to understand, we don't have criminal minds, Lord. We don't have evil minds. So help us, Father God, to understand the enemy so we can fight him, pray against him, and we can share with people to come out of the clutches of the devil. And this I ask in Jesus' name, amen and amen. You may be seated. Now, if you were not here last week, we gave out a booklet called The Cabal of the Mother of All Harlots. Now, you've read in the book of Revelation, chapter 17, it talks about that there is the whore, or the harlot, or the mother of all harlots. And this one here, you can pick it up in the bookstore. We're giving them out for free. There was going to be a book today, but we didn't finish it, so it'll be coming out next week. So you can pick it up, and if you are watching us and you didn't get one in the mail, the reason is we just didn't finish them. But we are having them now, and they will be in the mail shortly. Today I want to talk about Jacob Frank. And Jacob Frank is a man that has changed your life and my life. He lived more than 300 years ago. But the man had some writings. And I want you to know that what is written down will change events in the world. So Jacob Frank had some writings. And at the time when he wrote them, they were hidden. Just a few people around him, his disciples, a few thousand people knew them. But Jacob Frank's writings has given birth to communism, to Nazism, to fascism, and he will also give life to the Antichrist. Now, from time to time, as I'm watching very carefully television, there is a channel in the United States called the Military Channel. And I did not know it existed, and I saw it advertised, and I said, now that's interesting. What do they show on the Military Channel in the United States? And I've been watching it the last year, not religiously, but checking in here and there just to see what kind of program they have. And it is an obsession with Hitler, Germany. Over and over again, World War II, the Nazis, what they do, and so on. And it is a glorification of death, killing, and war. But then I asked myself this. How come that we don't see anything from the Soviet Union? Have you ever thought about this, that very few films, TV series have been made on communism, the Russian Revolution? Very little. Very little on China and the communists there. Why? I'm going to come to that a little bit later. Now, have you ever wondered why the French Revolution happened? Why was it so bloody, so ugly? Now, at the time of the French Revolution, we have England. And the people in charge of the French Revolution had also planned and instigated a revolution in England. But they failed in England, succeeded in France. What's the difference? In England, there was revival. God was moving. People were getting saved. France, dead. They had killed off the Huguenots that were part of the Reformation. Why could Lenin, Trotsky, and Stalin be so cruel to the Russian people in murdering more than 40 million of them? I have here a DVD. It's called, it's in Swedish, not the pictures, but the text. It's called In the Shadow of Hermas. It's a DVD made by Yuri Linna, who was born in Estonia, moved to Sweden. And we're selling this. People in America are not buying it, but I would simply say this. If you have never understood the Russian Revolution ordered this from us, Yuri Leonin went to the Soviet Union, actually Russia, immediately after it fell. Now, he speaks Russian, German, Swedish, Estonian, and part French. He's a genius. He went to the KGB archives right after the fall in 91, before they could clean things up. And he went to a number of different places in Russia. And he got some footage that is absolutely incredible. A few years later, Russian actors reenacted what happened 1917, 18, and 19. And when this is graphic, it's not for children. And when I saw this movie, I wanted to cry. I said, God, how can anyone be so cruel? Hitler was a Sunday school teacher compared with Stalin, Lenin, and Trotsky. If you haven't had it, you can order it at a bookstore. We have it in stock. If you're watching us, even if you don't understand the language, you watch it, and it will tell you something. This is how it's going to be during the time of the Antichrist. Do you realize what the gulags meant? Over 3,000 concentration camps up in the northern part of Russia, Siberia, and all the way from Murmansk. And there, millions of Russian died, froze, labored, and no one cared. What motivated Adolf Hitler and his Nazi regime to murder the elderly, the sick, the feeble, the mentally ill, gypsies, and Jews? What motivated him? Now, I've written about this before, but I want you to know that in about 1937, 1938, Hitler simply said this: why should we have useless eaters? The elderly are the suffering. It is more humane to kill them, like we do with animals. We simply give them a little shot, and we say we don't want them to suffer. So we have euthanasia with animals. Well, this is what the Nazi thought about the elderly. If you were sick and incurable, they would simply take you out to your misery. During the war, when they had soldiers, German soldiers were wounded, particularly in the Russian front, they had field hospitals. And what they did was, they didn't tell the soldiers that, but they had corridors, and they opened all the windows, and they laid the wounded soldiers out in the corridors to freeze to death, get them out of the misery. In Sweden, for the last 30 years, they're more humane. Now, they don't like the elderly in Sweden because it costs money. And if you are in Sweden and you are sick, God help you if you are older and you go to the hospital. If you're deemed incurable, here's what they do to you. The doctor simply says, no food, no water, and in 5 days, you're killed. You might say, well, I'm glad we're not living in Sweden. The same thing happens here. We had several elderly people. They went to hospitals, and we found out to our horror that the doctors withheld water and food to speed up the death. We tried to sneak in water, and they said, no, doctors ordered no water. If you get sick, God help you, unless you have a family that is looking after you. Where did Hitler get his idea about total war? When every civilian was targeted and killed. What motivated Mao Zedong to have more than 80 million Chinese people murdered? You that are older, remember the Red Guard? Remember that? Remember how they went from village to village, from city to city, and they just slaughtered people in China? And Mao said, we're going to shake everything up and destroy it. Why? What motivated Pol Pot? He murdered more than 2 million people in Cambodia. The killing fields. We remember that. Now in the aforementioned events, there is a common thread that Christians were hunted, imprisoned, tortured, and millions of them were killed. Why? What made a man like Fidel Castro, good old Castro with a cigar, to turn Cuba into a giant prison when he imposed communism, death to all political opponents, and the persecution of Christians? The truth that few dare to see, and I just want to read briefly. The truth is to be found in the writings of a man that lived in the 18th century. He claimed to be the incarnated Sabbatai. I spoke about that last week. You will not find this information in public schools, colleges, Bible colleges, and seminaries, because it is too dangerous and must be hidden. What I'm going to share with you today is a core of the Antichrist theology, the mother of the Communist Manifesto. It can be found in Hitler's book, Mein Kampf, the little red book by Mao Zedong, and even a book written by Theodor Herzl, Der Judenstaat, where he stated it was acceptable to sacrifice a whole branch of Jews to create the State of Israel. Yes, in the 1890s, Theodor Herzl wrote in the book, Der Judenstaat, of the Jewish State, and he simply said this, if we have to sacrifice a whole branch of Jews, it's worth it, so we can establish the State of Israel. You understand that the Jews that died in the Holocaust, the German Jews, the Polish Jews, Russian Jews, were the lower echelons. There were no rich Jews among them, no powerful. They had escaped. Herzl's book was so controversial that Jewish leaders did not want to talk about it, since it would cause a rebellion in the Jewish people as they would turn against their own leaders. Let's turn now in the Bible to Hosea chapter 4. That's the book of Hosea, the fourth chapter. That's Hosea chapter 4. And I want to pick it up in verse number 1. That's Hosea chapter 4, verse number 1. Hear the word of the Lord, you children of Israel. For the Lord has a controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because there is no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. This was written now when the Kabbalists were ruling in Israel by swearing and lying and killing and stealing and committing adultery. They break out and blood touches blood. I want you to stop for just a moment. Let me take you back to 1960. In 1960, the drugs flooded America. You that are here today, you have relatives They got burned out on drugs. You know the disaster in the 60s and 70s and 80s. You know how many people have been destroyed by amphetamines, different type of drugs. A whole generation. Where did it come from? We can lay it at the feet of Jacob Frank. In verse number 3 it says, therefore shall the land mourn, and everyone that dwells therein shall language, with the beasts of the field and with the fowls of the heaven. Yea, the fish of the sea also shall be taken away. Yet let no man strive to reprove another. For your people are as they that strive with the priests. Therefore, should you fall in the day, and a prophet also shall fall with you in the night, and I will destroy your mother. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I will also reject you, that you should be no priest to me, seeing you have forgotten the law of your God. I will also forget your children. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. You now have a responsibility. We have the future coming of the Antichrist, the mark of the beast. And I want you to know that right now, most of the churches have already softened up. Most pastors says, well, the book of Revelation is a fairy tale. There's no such thing as a mark of the beast. It's just an imagination. And the pastors in America and in Western Europe are going to lead their flocks to take the mark of the beast, because they do not understand the doctrine behind the mark of the beast. Jacob Frank was born exactly 50 years after the death of Sabbatai Siva in 1726. This day, he was born in Galicia province of Poland at that time. Now, it is a difficult for anyone who does not have access to elaborate Jewish encyclopedias to find personal data of this man, whose real name was not Frank, but Leibovitz. What I'm teaching today is not taken from Gentile sources. I have Jewish books, literature. This is where it is taken from. Now, Jacob Frank traveled. He was a traveling businessman. He was not well educated except in the Kabbalah. And Frank proclaimed himself to be the incarnation of Sabbatai at the age of 25, and that he was a living Messiah for all the Jews. 4 years later, in 1755, he formed an official body of believers in the Kabbalah, became known as Zoharists. And if you check on the internet and you check some of the movie stars today, you find that they are into the book Zohar. They are feeding on Jacob Frank. Now, if it is possible for a person to be evil, I would say that Jacob Frank was worse than Stalin, Lenin, Trotsky, Hitler, Mao Zedong. He was worse because he had an evil mind. And what he wrote down, he knew what he wrote down, would mean the destruction in the world. His followers read like a who's who in the roster of hell. Karl Marx, Joseph Engels, Napoleon Bonaparte, Vladimir Lenin, Lev Trotsky, Joseph Stalin, Adolf Hitler, Mao Zedong, Idi Amin, you remember him? Fidel Castro are some of these infamous disciples. Frank became a nihilist in his thinking, and living and pushed his philosophy to his limit. What does it mean to be a nihilist? Number one, the denial to existence of any basis for knowledge or truth. The general rejection of customary beliefs in morality, religion, and so on. In politics, the doctrine of the Lord's social, politic, and economic institution must be completely destroyed in order to make way for new institutions. How many of you remember Manson? Remember Manson and his group? He had learned this from Jacob Frank's writing. And Manson and his disciples were out to destroy. Remember that? Slash and kill. Right here in California. You know, when we read about Manson, no one ever thought about where did he get his doctrine from. Russia has suffered greatly. Now I'm going to read to you here from on page number 3. This is now from the writings of Jacob Frank. We got a book that is ready. Be handing out next week. We will have more details in the book. And this is what Gershom Scholem, the Jewish master professor of Kabbalah, said. Jacob Frank will always be remembered as one of the most frightening phenomena in the whole of Jewish history. A religious leader who, whether for purely self-interest motives or otherwise, was in his action a truly corrupt and degenerate individual. That is what this Jewish professor said about him. If the full truth be told, however, even after one has taken account Frank's unscrupulous opportunist, his calculated deceits and his personal ambitions, none of which really concerns us here, he remains a figure of tremendous, if not satanic power. Now, this was written by a Jewish professor in Jerusalem who is not saved. He's dead now. He simply said, satanic power. Then he said this, Frank himself was not only an unlettered man or uneducated, but boasted continually of his own lack of culture. But in spite of all this, and here's a significant point, we are confronted in his person with the extraordinary spectacle of a powerful and tyrannical soul living in the middle of the 18th century and yet immersed entirely in a mythological world of his own making. Jacob Frank fomented the Russian Revolution. More than 70 years of suffering. China. Hitler. What was his theology? As we briefly look upon that. In the current aeon or time period, this is from Jacob Frank now, there are three rulers of the world. And by the way, if you've ever been into Freemasonry, this is straight what they talk about, the three rulers. Life, wealth, and death. The last of it might be replaced by wisdom, a task. However, that is not easily accomplished, for although wisdom is in some mysterious manner connected to the good God, the latter is still not able to reveal himself to mankind, for the world is in a thrall or bondage of laws that are no good. Have you listened to communist propaganda? We got to destroy the capitalists. We got to destroy the laws. And then he said, hence it is necessary to cast off the dominion of these laws, which are laws of death and harmful to mankind. What does that mean? Frank declared that the entire Old Testament laws were no good and proclaimed war on every society existing in the world, since they were built by varying degrees upon the revelations that God gave to his prophet in Israel and recorded in the Old Testament. Frank thought it was necessary to cast off the dominion of his laws of death that were harmful to mankind. This is the theological cornerstone of communism, fascism, Freemasonry, political science, and Nazism. You understand what he was saying? The Bible, the Old Testament, the Ten Commandments are no good. They are harmful. The Ten Commandments are harmful. He had some better stuff. Ask anyone who came out of the Soviet Union if they had some better stuff. According to Jacob Frank's teaching, the good God tried to correct this problem for a long time. If you missed the message last week, I'm not going to go back in this. Pick up the book. We have it here. This is what he said. To bring this about, the good God has sent messages, says to the patriarchs who dug wells, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Moses, Jesus, and Nazareth, and all into the world. Moses pointed out the true way, but he found it to be too difficult. Whereupon he resorted to another religion and presented man with the law of Moses, whose commandments are injurious, harmful, damaging, abusive, and useless. That's the Ten Commandments. The law of the Lord, on the other hand, the spiritual Torah of Sabbateans, is perfect. Only no man has yet been able to attain it. Finally, the good God for Jacob Frank is Lucifer. Finally, Lucifer sent Sabbatai Sivai into the world, but he too was powerless to achieve anything because he was unable to find a true way. Now, Jacob Frank simply declared this, I am supreme. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, Jesus, everyone has failed. But hear this, me, Jacob Frank, I have it together. I know everything. I am incarnated Messiah. You follow me. Similar to Joseph Smith, who in about 1820, 25, said, I saw an angel of light. And Joseph Smith was told, Jesus failed, the church has failed, but Joseph Smith, you are perfect. And you're going to restore everything. That's how they got the Mormons. Many hundreds of years earlier, Muhammad was disfront. He didn't like Judaism, Christianity. He started his own religion. And an angel of light came to him and said, Muhammad, everyone else has failed except you. And he started the Muslim faith with Islam. Are we suffering today from Islam? You better believe it. We're suffering greatly. Jacob Frank was even more boastful than these I talked about. He claimed that all people that the good God had sent to earth had failed. But Frank, he was it. I listed here now for you the men that read Frank's writings and accepted it. Mayor Amschel, the founder of the Rothschild banking dynasty. Today, the Rothschilds, I'll be talking about that in another day, is controlling the Federal Reserve in America. He's controlling our interest rates. He's controlling the oil. That family is very powerful. Adam Weishaupt founded Illuminati. Moses Hess, most people never heard of him. But Moses Hess was the one that actually laid the foundation for communism and Zionism. Karl Marx, who wrote the Communist Manifesto. Friedrich Engels, his co-worker. Theodor Herzl, the founder of Zionism. Vladimir Lenin, the ruthless dictator of the Soviet Union. Joseph Stalin, the successor to Lenin. Benito Mussolini, the fascist dictator in Italy. Adolf Hitler, the leader of Nazi Germany. Mao Zedong, the ruthless dictator in communist China, Salazar, or also known as Pol Pot, the communist butcher in Cambodia, Fidel Castro. Now, these men have changed the world. They have changed the way you and I live. You and I lived through many of us lived through the Cold War. You remember we always had it hanging over us. Atomic war. We never had peace. Jacob Frank was not the top leader. You got to understand now that Jacob Frank, Amir Marshall, or Rothschild and Adam Weishaupt, they were pawns. They were working for somebody else. I want to read this here so I get it in without too much difficulty. From the time of King Solomon, there's been a small but powerful group of Kabbalistic leaders known only to themselves. They can be likened to the cardinals in the Roman Catholic Church, who are selected by the current batch, and the Pope is selected from his pool. These men have been the elite rulers since the 4th century after Christ. Now, you have seen the cardinals in Rome when they select a new pope. Now, Roman Catholic priests, bishops, and cardinals were allowed to marry and procreate under the council outlawed in 306 A.D., but it was not really enforced until 1139. Now, unless the Roman Catholics, these men marry, have children. But we do catch this now. This leadership, probably less than 500 people, probably less than 500 people, they marry within their own ranks, they raise their own children in this, and it goes from generation to generation. They're the ones that make up the council of 33, and then the top of the 13 that sit on top of the pyramid. This is why no one has been able to penetrate above the 33 people in that cabal. Now, it was a Kabbalistic leadership that had handpicked Jacob Frank to develop the teaching, begun by Sabbatai, and indoctrinate Mayer Amschel and Adam Weishaupt. They became the unholy trinity. Jacob Frank was in charge to create a theology that would be in foundation revolutions. Mayer Amschel was in charge of world banking. And Adam Weiss was in charge of revolutionary political development in the world. And the first revolution they did was the French Revolution in 1879. Now, in order to be successful, you've got to have a plan. Just as Lenin, a century later, told his followers about utopia, Adolf Hitler told his followers a thousand-year rage, Frank told his followers that he was going to lead them toward life. And now we're going to read the core of this evil thing. This is what Jacob Frank wrote. This is what his followers believe. Nevertheless, the way to life is not easy, for it is the way of nihilism, destruction, and it means to free oneself of all laws, conventions, and religions, to adopt every conceivable attitude and to reject it, and to follow one's leader step by step into the abyss. Baptism is a necessity, as Frank said prior to his conversion, because Christianity has paved the way for it. Let me paint the picture for you right now. Have you ever seen gothic young people? Gothic young people, clad in black, completely black, long coats, stringy hair. Those people are nihilists, destructive. They are a product of Jacob Frank. Now, Jacob Frank joined the Roman Catholic Church. And this is what he wrote 30 years after that. This much I tell you, Christ, as you know, said that he had come to redeem the world from the hands of the devil. Let me slow down. Christ said that he had come to redeem the world from the hands of the devil. Now, that's truth. But listen to what Jacob said now. But I have come to redeem it from all the laws and customs that ever existed. It is my task to annihilate, to destroy, demolish all this, that the good God can reveal himself. Remember Jesus talked about lawlessness? Here it is. The followers of Jacob Frank were commissioned to destroy every religious and positive system of belief. This is the true way the believer is expected to follow. Here's some more quotes from him. Wherever Adam trod, a city was built. Wherever I set foot, all will be destroyed. For I came into this world only to destroy and to annihilate. But what I build will last forever. Mankind is engaged in a war without quarter, within no good laws that are in power. And I say to you, and all you who be warriors must be without religion, which means that they must reach freedom under their own power and seize hold of the tree of life. This is diabolic teaching, satanic. This is the foundation of the Antichrist system. And then he said this, in order to ascend up, one must first descend. No man can climb a mountain until he has first descended to its foot. Therefore, we must descend and be cast down to the bottom rung, for only then can we climb to the infinite. This is the mystic principle of Jacob's ladder. This is not Freemasonry teaching also, which I have seen and which is a shape like a V. Again, I did not come into this world to lift you up, but rather to cast you down to the bottom of the abyss or to the bottom of hell. The descent into the abyss requires not only the rejection of all religions and conventions, but also the commission of strange acts. Where is all homosexuality coming from? What happened in the 1950s? We have had an explosion of homosexuality. And today, if you stand out and say homosexuality is sin, you get crucified. The homosexual lobby is just as strong as the Jewish lobby. And then he says, and this in turn demands the voluntary abasement, degradation of one's own sense of self, so that libertinism, which means no morality, and the achievement of the state of utter shamelessness. Today, people have no shame, do they? Commit adultery? No problem. Nudity? Which leads to a ticking, which is in the bottom of that, of the soul, are one and the same thing. Now, I'm going to have you read the book. You're going to get the book. But here's what you need to understand there. If we as Christians do not speak up now, there's going to be a slaughter among the Christians. Do you understand that if the Christ, if the church of the Lord Jesus Christ in the 1850s would have stood up pulpit at the pulpit in Europe and United States and expose Jacob Frank, we might not have had a Russian Revolution. We might not have had the communist China. But the church was stupid. Didn't know. And today the church is stupid again. And we need to change that. Turn to the book of Hebrews right now. Hebrews chapter 12. And I want to refute right now what Jacob Frank has spoken. Jacob Frank upholds Esau. Do you know that Esau is a hero to Freemasons? Esau is looked upon as a great man of God. But here's what the Bible says about him. Hebrews 12, verse number 14. Follow peace with all men, and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person of Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For you know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. Esau was rejected. He was an evil man, and God simply rejected him. Jacob Frank lifted him up as an idol. Now turn to Revelation chapter 20. It's Revelation, the 20th chapter. And you're going to pick it up in verses 1 through 3. Now, Jacob Frank talked about the abyss, which is also the same as a bottomless pit, which is a prison, where evil spirits are kept by God. And this is a place where the devil is going to be imprisoned during the 1,000-year kingdom. If you read on the first 3 verses. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having a key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on a dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, shut him up, set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more, till 1,000 years should be fulfilled, and after that he must be loosed a little season. Jacob Frank said, I'm going to lead you, my followers, into the abyss. I want you to think with me right now. All the communists from 1850 and on, all the people that followed Adolf Hitler, all the people that followed Mao Zedong, all the communists died in their sins and went to the bottomless pit. Yes, Jacob Frank was true to his word. He said, I'm going to lead my followers into the abyss. He led them into hell. And they never came out. And in the future, they would stand at the great white throne judgment seat, and there to be sentenced to the lake of fire. What a tragedy. Jacob Frank wanted to take all his followers to the abyss. And yes, he did. They're in hell today, burning with fire and cursing their leader. Now, I want you to turn with me to Leviticus chapter 10. Leviticus chapter 10. It's so cold, my fingers are slipping here today. But I'm sure glad I'm not in hell. Leviticus chapter 10. If you pick it up in verse number 1, if I can get over there. There we go. These are the 2 sons of Aaron that died. These are heroes in Freemasonry. Heroes for Jacob Frank. And Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer, put fire in and put incense thereon, offered strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded them not. And they were not the fire for the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. Then Moses said to Aaron, this is it that the Lord spake, saying, I will be sanctified in them that come nigh me, and before all the people I'll be glorified. And Aaron held his peace. And Moses called Mishael and Elzaphan, the sons of Uziel, the uncle of Aaron, and said unto him, Come near, carry your brethren from before the sanctuary out of the camp. So he went near and carried them. So they went near and carried them in the coats out of the camp, as Moses had said. And Moses sent to Aaron, and unto Eleazar, and unto Ithamar, his sons, Uncover not your heads, neither rend your clothes, lest you die, and lest wrath comes upon all the people. But let your brethren, the whole house of Israel, be veiled and burning, which the Lord has kindled. These men are heroes in Freemasonry. God simply said, He killed them. Moses said, don't even weep over them. Don't even bury them. Throw them outside the camp. Everything sacred in the Bible is unholy to Jacob Frank, the communists, the Nazis, the fascists, and the Freemasons. Totally reversed. Jesus came to destroy the works of Satan. Let's turn with me to 1 John 3:8. That's 1 John 3:8. Now you might wonder, did I read stuff like this in the book to put this together? Did I read somebody else's work? No. Did I enjoy teaching this? No. Why am I teaching this? Because God told me to. 1 John chapter 3 and verse number 6 is where I want to land. And that is the wrong words. It should be number 8 to change your outlines. He that commits sin is of the devil, for the devil sins from the beginning. And for this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. And you and I are to destroy the works of the devil, and that's what I'm doing today. I'm destroying his works. Jesus came to save the people who were lost and give them eternal life in heaven. Turn to Luke 19. That's the book of Luke, Gospel of Luke, chapter 19. And we pick it up at verse number 9. Luke 19, verse number 9. And Jesus said to him, This day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Jesus came to save, seek, and save what was lost. Jacob came to destroy. Satan is a destroyer. Jesus is our friend. He is our Savior. Let me read what I wrote here. Jacob Frank was inspired by Satan and wrote the doctrine of the Antichrist, a doctrine which is hidden from the masses of people today, but will be the gospel of Satan during the reign of the Antichrist. I call them bastard Bibles. There's one that's worse than anyone else. It's called the Message. And the Message Bible is a total destruction of the Bible. And that is a favorite Bible of Rick Warren. He loves that Bible. It's a favorite of all the fallen preachers, because they have destroyed the Word of God. Now, Jacob Frank was a replica of the devil. In reading the teaching on Jacob Frank, it should not come as a surprise that he repeated what his father the devil had done prior in heaven. Turn to Revelation 12, 7. That's Revelation chapter 12 and verse number 7. Have you read this? And there was war in heaven. This is prior to Adam and Eve now. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought against his angels, and prevailed not, neither was there place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceived the whole world. He was cast out in the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength, and the kingdom of our God, and the power is Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before God day and night. Study world history. Study world history. What happened? The first two sons of Adam and Eve, Cain, murdered Abel. And after that, war, 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 war. The Indians had war in North and South America. There were wars in Africa, wars in Europe, wars in Asia. Always wars. Where do they come from? They come from the devil. Now, Satan was sentenced to the lake of fire. In Matthew 25:41, we read this. Matthew 25:41. I have a hard time to get this, so you would have a chance to get there yourself. Matthew 25:41. Jesus said, then shall he say also to them on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Satan is going to the lake of fire. Now, in Isaiah chapter 14, I'm going to read this, and I hope that you reread this later when you come home. I asked somebody last week, how was my sermon last week? And the guy said, like drinking from a fire hose. So I'm sorry if I'm going too fast, but I got to get this in less than 58 minutes. Isaiah 14:12. This is the description of Lucifer. How you fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning, how you cut down to the ground which did weaken the nations. For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation and side to the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet you shall be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. They that see you shall narrowly look upon you and consider you, saying, is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake kingdoms, that made the world as a wilderness, and destroyed the cities thereof, that opened not the house of his prisoners? Listen now. This description is pre-Adam and Eve. Lucifer reigned on this earth before Adam and Eve were created. This was his planet. This was his program. That's how he ran it. He simply made the earth to tremble, destroyed kingdoms, destroyed the environment, destroyed cities, and he put his sins in prison and would not let them out. If you turn to Ezekiel chapter 28 now, you find some more insight. This is Ezekiel chapter 28. This might come as a shock to you if you have never heard this before. But we have a description of what happened before Adam and Eve on this earth. Ezekiel chapter 28 and verse number 14. You are the anointed cherub that covers. I have set you so. You was upon a holy mountain of God. You have walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. You were perfect in your ways for the day that you were created, till iniquity was found in you. By the multitude of thy merchandise, they filled the midst of you with violence, and you have sinned. Therefore will cast this profane out of the mountain of God. I will destroy your covering cherub for the midst of the stones of fire. Your heart was lifted up because of your beauty. You corrupted your wisdom by reason of your brightness. I will cast you to the ground. I will lay you before kings, that they may behold you. You have defiled your sanctuaries by the multitude of your iniquities. By the iniquity of your traffic, therefore I bring forth a fire from the midst of you. It shall devour you, and will bring you to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all them that behold you. Now, here we find he was a master of business. Who controls all business in the world today? There's only one group of people, Kabbalistic Jews. We have a few Gentiles. Hollywood controlled, banking controlled, politics controlled. What happened to Helen Davis, the White House correspondent lady that had been there for many years? She was considered the what you call it, an honorable person in the White. They always gave her honor. And one day she made a comment. She said, "Why don't the Jews get out of Israel and go back to where they came from so they don't simply hurt the Palestinians anymore?" You know how long she lasted after that? In 2 hours, she lost her credential for the White House. She lost a job with a network she was working for. And she was put out in the pasture as an anti-Semitic, making one comment. That's a powerful error. Now, Jacob Frank, let me read also John 8:39. The Gospel of John 8:39, we get that in too. The Gospel of John 8:39. If you are here for the first time, I feel sorry for you. This is not normal how I preach. And this is probably a fire hose for you drinking from. John 8:39. Matter of fact, here's what I prayed today when I drove in. I said, "God, don't give us any visitors today. Say them for another time, like, you know, give them a good sermon." I did. John 8:39. Jesus answered and said to him, they answered and said to him, "Abraham is our father." Jesus said to them, "If you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man that has told you the truth, which I have heard of God, this is not Abraham. You do the deeds of your father." Then they said to him, "We be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. Remember not the Jews at that time believed and taught that Jesus' mother was a whore. She got pregnant by a Roman soldier, and Jesus was a bastard. That was a common teaching at that time, and that's a common teaching among Jews today. We've been not born of fornication. We have one father, even God." Jesus said to them, "If God were your father, you would love me, for I proceed forth and came from God. Neither came I myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you cannot hear my word. You are your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." Jesus told these Kabbalistic Jews, "Your daddy is the devil." Now, Jacob Frank was a good Catholic for a little while, and he put up a good front. He was in Poland, and the Catholic priest would simply have him come up and debate with the rabbis. And Jacob Frank would say, "Well, they are scum, they are the devil, this and that. You know, they have blood sacrifice." But eventually, he got caught, and he got thrown out, put in prison, and he was in prison for 13 years when the Russians fought the Poles, liberated him, sent him to Germany, where he ended up in a city called Offenbach, which is very short distance from Frankfurt, where Mr. Rothschild lived. And Adam Weiss had hung out at Ingolstadt, which is not too far from there. Now, when he came to Germany, I want you to think about this. Jacob Frank had been 13 years in prison. He lost everything, came to Offenbach, And there he became very rich. Who gave him the money? His handlers. Now, we have the unholy trinity of Jacob Frank, Adam Weishaupt, and Meir Amschel. All three men were Jewish. Frank and Amschel had been trained as rabbis, but deviated from the regular Jewish faith and embraced the Kabbalah, while Weishaupt was trained as a Jesuit priest. Now, Loyola, that founded the Jesuit order, was Jewish. He was a converted Jew to the Catholic faith. And he started the Jesuits that had been hell dogs on this earth. Okay, Christians don't get it. Now, the Church of Jesus Christ paid little attention to Jewish people during the centuries that the Kabbalah developed and entrapped them. Martin Luther wrote in 1543 a book called The Jews and Their Lies. You can still buy that book today. Just the last 20 years, the ACLU, the ADL, and all the other Jewish organizations have pressured every Lutheran denomination to denounce Martin Luther, their founder, and say he's no good, he's an anti-Semite, and we will not know him any longer. That's the power of the Jewish lobby in the United States. There is such a lack of education when it comes to Jewish history among Christian leaders, as a great fear of being labeled anti-Semitic. Now, the reason we're not into money here is I am not in with the money boys. And most preachers are Christian Zionism. Christian Zionists, because that is what a money is if you want to have money. I'm going to close in 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter and chapter 2, we're going to pick it up in verse number 8. For the righteous man dwelling among them, in seeing and hearing, vexes righteous soul from the day to day with their unlawful deeds. The Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation of reserve the unjust to the day of judgment to be punished. But chiefly then they walk after the flesh, in the lust of uncleanness, and despise governments. Notice that now, that's a key part. Despise governments. Kabbalah despise governments. Presumptuous are they, self-willed. They're not afraid to speak evil of dignities. Whereas angels, which are great in power and might, bring not railly accusation against them before the Lord. But these, as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of things that they understand not, and shall only perish in their own corruption, and shall receive the reward of unrighteousness, as they that count it pleasure to riot in the daytime. Spots they are and blemishes. Sport themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery, and they cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls, and heart they have exercised with coveted practice, cursed children, which have forsaken the right way, and have gone astray from the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. You read the rest of this chapter, and if you don't understand what I talked about the Kabbalah, you understand what Peter was talking about. He was rebuking these men that try to creep into the churches. And then it says here in verse number 19, while they promised them liberty, there's a word, while they promised them liberty, they themselves are the servant of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome are the same as he brought into bondage. For if, after they have escaped the pollution of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness then after they have known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it has appeared unto them, but it has happened unto them, according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the soul that was washed to a wallowing in the mire. Again, I want to say this. If you really want to understand Jacob Frank, this is a DVD that you want to buy. This is the DVD you want to sit and watch. And it will drive you to your knees. And it will drive you to prayer. But what you see here, you're going to see 15, 20, 30 years from now, when the Antichrist is coming on the scene. Let's be prepared. And let's simply begin to warn people. You might be here today and you might say, well, I'm not even a Christian. I have never made a commitment to Christ. Well, today is a good day. All you have to do is to simply say, my Heavenly Father, I recognize the Bible is true, all the other stuff is garbage. And I need to be saved. I'm a sinner. My Heavenly Father, forgive me of my sins. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he died on the cross, rose on the third day, and through his death and resurrection, I can be saved. I believe that. Jesus, come on in. Come on in and be my Lord and Savior, and he will save you. Let's stand for prayer. My Heavenly Father, I want to thank and praise you right now that you helped me through this very difficult message today. And Lord, oh God, I just pray, Holy Spirit, show us what's ahead of us. Show us what's going on in the future, that we might be able to rescue people, rescue them before they take the mark of the beast. I thank you, Lord. I've been obedient. I proclaimed it. Now it's up to you and the people, the Holy Ghost and the people, Lord. As I step back, in Jesus' name, amen and amen. We're going to have an invitation here. If you want to be prayed for, if you are sick, if you need them, the elders and the deacons are going to be at the coming right now. You just come on up here and we're going to pray for you and minister to you. As God has been speaking to you, whatever need you have, you come.
Hello there, friend. You might have some questions about Christianity. There are many so-called Christian churches out there. So what makes a person a Christian? How do you get right with God? And how do you know when you die that you'll go to heaven? How exactly does a person get to heaven? Does God have a standard? And if so, what is it? What I'm about to tell you will be the most important information you will ever hear on this earth. And your decision will determine how you spend eternity. As you continue listening, I will explain. The bad news is this. When we are born into this world, we are automatically born with sin. Now you might think of yourself as a good person. After all, you're nice to other people, you give money to charity, and you try to live a good life. However, everyone has sinned and fallen short of God's standard. So it doesn't matter how moral, religious, or philosophical you are, you've broken God's commandments, and that has separated you from God. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now you might say, "Well, I'm a good person. Doesn't that count for something?" Okay, let's take a little test. I'm going to ask you three questions. 1. Have you ever told a lie? 2. Have you ever stolen anything? Even something insignificant like a paperclip at work? 3. Have you ever lusted after someone of the opposite sex? Okay. How did you do? Most likely you answered yes to all 3 questions, which means you just failed the test. You see, these 3 questions are but 3 of God's 10 commandments. Failing just 1 commandment disqualifies you from getting into heaven and has condemned you to hell. This is why the Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You see, God knows that we are all guilty of breaking His commandments. That's why He said we've all sinned and fallen short of His standard. But you don't have to be depressed about this. I do have some good news to share with you. In Romans 5:7 through 8, it says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commends His love toward us in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You see, God loves you so much that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to pay for the sin in your life. Jesus was more than just a good man. He was God becoming man and walking among us. That is why Jesus died on the cross. He took your place and paid for your sins with His shed blood so that you can have everlasting life. God loves you so much that He sent His own Son to pay a debt He did not owe, because you owe a debt you could not pay. Jesus bridged the gap created by sin between you and God. The Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You see, there are 3 places we can exist in this universe: earth, heaven, and hell. So when we die here on earth, we don't just cease to exist. We will step out of our physical bodies and go to one of 2 places, heaven or hell. God did not send His Son to condemn you, but that through Jesus you might be saved and have eternal life in heaven. God's free gift to you is eternal life through His Son, Jesus Christ. That is why Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by Me." You see, God offers His love to you through Jesus, even though you are a sinner. This unmerited grace is not something you can buy or earn, but a gift from God. As you're listening right now and realize you're a sinner, know that God loves you and wants to save you. All you need to do is repent of your sins and ask God to forgive you. The word repent means to change your direction. You've been running away from God. Now it's time to start running toward Him. The Bible says in Psalms 103:12, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us." That means if you call out to God and confess your sins, He will forgive you. What Jesus has done in the past for others, He will do for you. If you call out to Him, He will answer you. He won't look down upon you because of your past, and there isn't a sin so great that it can't be forgiven. All He wants for you is to come to Him. He will help anybody who calls out to Him. If you have sin in your life, God still loves you. If you ask God to save you, He will do so. It is important to remember that talking to God can be done anywhere and anytime. You don't have to be in church to talk to God. He will meet you wherever you are. As you're listening to me right now, if you feel a conviction of sin in your life, that is God's Holy Spirit moving upon you. Friend, you need to repent of your sins right now and call out to Jesus. You might not get another chance. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Friend, you need to make a decision today, one that will affect you for eternity. You have a choice. The road to hell is paved with good intentions, so act today. I would like to lead you in a prayer right now where you can ask Jesus Christ to come into your life and be your personal Lord and Savior. Now you might ask, what you just said, exactly what does that mean? Well, if you want to start anew and have your sins forgiven, Jesus is the way. There is no other way to God than through Jesus. I'm not talking about being religious. I'm talking about having a personal relationship with the God of creation who loves you so much and is just waiting for you to reach out to Him. That is what I mean by asking Jesus to come into your life and save you. Won't you pray with me right now? God, I confess that I am a sinner and that I need to be saved from my sins. Jesus, I ask that you would forgive me of my sins. I turn from them now and I put my faith in you. Come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. I believe that you paid for my sins on the cross through your shed blood, and that you died for me and rose from the grave. Save me, Jesus. I know I can't save myself. Thank you for saving me and giving me eternal life and a place in heaven with you. Help me to be obedient and to walk with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed with me and asked Jesus to save you, you are now a Christian. You have become born again and are a new creation in God's eyes. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You see, you're not saved because you might feel saved, but because you have called upon God and He has saved you. Now, as a way to grow closer to Him, the Bible tells you to follow up on your commitment. Spend time with God each day. It doesn't have to be a long period of time. Just develop a daily habit of talking with Him and reading the Bible. Ask God to increase your faith and understanding of the Bible. Also, find a local church where you can worship God and seek fellowship with other Christians to answer your questions and support you. Be sure they use a King James Bible if you live in an English-speaking country, and that the pastor teaches out of the Bible. Plus, don't forget to share your new faith in Jesus with somebody else. After all, if I didn't make this recording to share with you, how would you have heard the good news? Finally, please contact us and tell us about your decision. We will send you some written material that will help you in your new walk with Jesus. This is Charles Terrell with European American Evangelistic Crusades. May you grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever.
You've been listening to Pastor John S. Terrell of Resurrection Life of Jesus Church in Sacramento, California. This message was the fifth part in the series, The World's Money System, and was entitled, Jacob Frank. Frank was deeply educated in the Kabbalah and believed he was the reincarnation of Sabbatai Sivai. He believed in nihilism and advocated overthrowing every national government, executing every king, and eradicating every trace of Christianity. He strove to destroy God's laws and lived in total sin. While Frank was never able to put his revolutionary ideas into practice, his writings did become the foundation for communism, Nazism, fascism, and someday they will be used by the Antichrist. This message wasn't pleasant, but the millions killed during the Second World War and the communist takeovers of Russia, China, Vietnam, Cambodia, Laos, and Cuba are a direct result of Frank's writings. Their blood cries out for truth concerning this demonized man so that people can be warned about this hellish future. Do you have an ear to hear with? This message is available on cassette, CD, and DVD. When ordering, ask for summer number 1273. There are several ways to contact our ministry. You can visit our website at eaec.org. There you can learn more about Pastor Terrell's ministry, read insightful articles, and explore the online store. The web address once again is eaec.org. If you prefer to write, address your envelope to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church, Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. That's Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. If you prefer to call us, the toll-free number in the United States is 1-888-708-3232. That's 888-708-3232. For calls from outside the U.S., the number is 916-944-3724. That's 916-944-3724. Resurrection Life of Jesus Church is sponsored by European American Evangelistic Crusades, and this has been a production of EAEC. Thanks for joining us today, and until next time, may God richly bless you as you read your Bible and walk with Him.